Before we open God's holy word this morning, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, God in heaven, we, thy creation, have gathered ourselves together by thy grace in this morning. And Father, we are thankful to be here. We're thankful to be within hearing of thy word in this morning. And Father, we anticipate a blessing from thee, a rich blessing from thee. We anticipate, Father, that thy good and Holy Spirit will lead and direct each and every one of us this morning, that we would all hear exactly what we need to hear for our inner spiritual man in this morning. Father, we ask that thou wouldst remove from us anything that would distract us, anything that would hinder us this morning as we would draw near to worship thee and to learn of thee. Father, we pray that thou wouldst be with us, that thy presence would be felt in our midst. This I do pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. With the help of God this morning, I'd like to focus on just a few short verses from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 11. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11. I'd like to begin reading with verse 33 and read through verse 36. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 11, beginning with verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Wish to conclude with reading of verse 36. As we go throughout our lives day by day, we know, we hear it often, we know that a lot of how we perceive our everyday life, the circumstances we're in, just depends on our attitude. It depends on our perspective. We know the example of someone can fill a glass of water to halfway. And we've heard the analogy before of someone can look at that glass, and if they're thinking more optimistically, they can see that glass as being half full. And if someone's thinking more pessimistically, they can look at that glass and see it as being half empty. It's the same cup filled to the same point, and yet we can have different perspectives. And that's the same in our daily life. If we want to be down, if we want to be negative, if we want to see the worst in ourselves, if we want to see the worst in others, that's what we'll see. That's what we're looking for. That's what we desire, in a way, to see. The circumstances of our life will look negatively upon if we have a negative attitude. And yet the opposite is true. If we're positive, if we're looking at the world around us, and if we're looking at each other with a positive lens, a positive attitude, then we'll see the good in each other. We'll see the good in ourselves, which we know is not of ourselves, but it's of God. So it all depends on our perspective. We can look at the same exact thing, we can have the same exact circumstances in life, and yet how we perceive that depends on what state of mind we're in. And Jesus here is, in these few verses, speaking a similar thing in a spiritual manner. There's a lot of verses in this chapter that we can read and focus on, and yet these four verses here that we read in Luke 11, verses 33 to 36, these verses have really been on my mind a lot these past few weeks. And that's what I'd like to focus on this morning, is our spiritual perspective. One who is specially trained in a field, in a specific field, in a specific occupation, he or she can look at, like for example, modern medical equipment and all the machines. We can go to the hospital and we see all the machines, the scanners, the tools. If we're not trained in that, we can look at that and our minds would start to spin. We don't even know what we're looking at. And yet if someone is trained in that field, they'll see every piece of equipment, and they'll know exactly what its use is, and it will be very familiar to them. If we see a mechanic working in a car with hundreds of parts scattered all over a table, if we're not trained in that, we'll look at that and we'll just see a mess and we won't even know what to make of it, and our minds will start to spin. But someone who is trained in that will know exactly what each part is and where it goes and what tool is needed to put it back into place. It depends on our perspective. And Jesus here is saying the same for us spiritually. Jesus begins in these verses, and he tells us about why men light a candle. And he says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light." There's one purpose that a candle serves. There's one reason that a man would light a candle, and that's to give light to the room, that they which come into that room where the candle has been lit would see the light, that they would no longer be in darkness. And Jesus says, of course, no man's going to light a candle and cover it with a basket or hide it in a secret place. Why would you light a candle and then put it in the closet and close the door? There's no purpose then to that light that has been lit. And Jesus then compares the eye, our eye. He says, the light of the body is the eye. He makes that same comparison. So as the candle is lit and gives light to a room, so our eye is to light our body. And this is where our perspective comes in. In verse 34, Jesus says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. If our eye is single, that means our eye is pure. Our eye is maybe spiritually healthy. If our spiritual perception is pure, then our whole body is full of light. And yet he contrasts and said, when thy eye is evil, when our spiritual vision, our spiritual perception is evil, is wicked, then our whole body also is full of darkness. So we can look at the same thing, and it depends on our spiritual attitude, it depends on our spiritual health, what we will see. There's a contrast here. So as a candle is lit to give light to a room, so also our eye is to lighten our whole body. If the condition of our eye is pure, our whole body will be full of light. We'll see the good in all things. We'll see the good in each other. We'll see the good in the world around us that God has created. And to contrast, if our eye is evil, if we desire to see evil, then our whole body is full of darkness. This same account is written of also in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus warns us, and he says, if the light that is in us be darkness, he says, how great is that darkness? It's a great darkness. If the light of our eye is evil, our whole body is full of darkness, and how great is that darkness? It's a great deep darkness that we're stuck in. If our spiritual vision is evil, if we haven't been born again, if we're thinking carnally, then our whole body will be full of darkness. It depends on how we see things. And a brother made a point recently as I was speaking with him. I really appreciated the point. This point has been on my mind. He used the example of how a man would look at a woman. If a man had an evil eye, if a man was thinking carnally, if the light that was in that man is darkness, he would look upon a woman and he would have the temptation to think lustfully toward her. And yet, the opposite is also true. If the light of a man's eye is pure, he would look at a woman and see a child of God who is created in the image of God, and there is no possibility then to think evil thoughts toward her, because his eye is now full of light. So a man can look at a woman, the same woman, and see. Two men can look at the same woman and see a complete opposite reality, depending on the condition of their hearts. What goes into what we see with our eyes then goes into our minds and into our hearts. And it's almost like that light that we see coming into our body, it's almost like it goes through a filter. And depending on the condition of our hearts is how we'll perceive things. The brain perceives what the eyes see, and yet it depends on the condition of our hearts, what the outcome will be, what we'll see. And that's the same with anything in our lives. An unbeliever can look at an evil movie, and they'll see something that's to be craved, to be desired, a a man that has not been born again can listen to worldly music and the worldly lyrics, and that can excite them and get them in a mood, and it leads them away from God. And if the opposite is true, if a child of God were to watch a worldly movie, a worldly show, it would disgust them. This child of God would perceive through spiritual vision from the Lord that this is not something that he can partake of, because this is ungodly. The latest hit show, the latest hit movie is to a child of God a vain. It's vain. It's worthless. It's unhealthy for us, because we have a spiritual vision. We perceive things now through a different lens. We see things through a spiritual lens now, where all of a sudden the worldliness that's around us, the worldliness that we once maybe craved, that we once longed after, now we have no interest in it, because we recognize this is drawing us away from God. This is what it means to have a spiritual vision. So again, two people can watch the same movie and have completely different reactions. One can look at it and love it and crave it and want more and want a sequel. And someone else can look at this movie and won't even make it through a couple minutes. They'll be disgusted and they'll be drawn away from it completely, because they know it's not godly. It depends on the condition of our hearts. What goes in from our eyes into our minds and into our hearts, it depends on the condition of our hearts. And that's why Jesus is warning us here and saying that we have to take heed, we have to be careful, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. This is the will of God for us, that our whole being would be transformed, would be brought to the light. God's desire is that we would not walk in darkness, but that we would have the light of life. And this life, we read, is in his Son. Jesus said he has come as the light of the world. And he said the only reason that men would prefer darkness over the light is because their deeds were evil. The only reason we would prefer the darkness of this world over Jesus Christ is because our spiritual vision is deplorable. Our vision is not spiritual at all. We would prefer darkness over light because we have something to cover up, something to hide. We don't want our deeds to be brought to the light, to be made manifest. That's what made manifest means, to be brought to the light, to be made evident, to be seen. We don't want our deeds to be seen by others if they're evil. And so we'll hide. So we'll hide our deeds. We'll hide our thoughts from each other. We won't want them to be brought out because we're ashamed of them. That's the only reason we would prefer darkness over light. And Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light is brought into the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and this is the condemnation. This is what will condemn us, is if we prefer darkness over light. So Jesus Christ is the name that saves us, and yet it can also be the name that will condemn us if we're not born again. And the Apostle Paul speaks to this briefly in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 15. He writes, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life." So the name of Jesus can save a believer, one who gives his life over to Christ, who yields himself to Christ, who doesn't please the flesh anymore, who gives himself over to Christ, who is transformed. The name of Jesus will save that man. Calling upon the name of the Lord will save that man in belief, in faith. And yet the opposite is true. If someone is living in unbelief, if someone desires worldliness, if someone desires to please their flesh, then the name of Jesus will condemn them. This is the condemnation, that Jesus, the light of the world, has been brought into the world, and men would prefer darkness over light. Men would choose darkness. And then this name, the only name that is given whereby we may be saved, the Bible teaches us, is the name of Jesus. The only way, the only man that can save us is the man Christ Jesus, the Son of God. This is the only name whereby we can be saved. And yet it is also the name that will condemn us if we do not believe in him, if we are not transformed. We know in Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." And the Apostle John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." He's pleading that the Lord would come. He's looking forward to the Lord's return. That's a complete opposite to those that would cry to the rocks and mountains, "Fall on us. The day of the Lord's wrath has come, and the unbelievers will say, they want to hide themselves and say, rocks and mountains fall on us, because the name of Jesus is condemning them, because they've lived a life of unbelief. They have not yielded themselves to Christ. So this name will condemn them. The name that gives life, the man that gives life, is the one that will also condemn an unbeliever. So again, it depends on our spiritual vision, on the health of our inner man. Just a few chapters later in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, we read, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is the will of God for us. Just as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, just as God spoke the world into existence, just as God simply said, "Let there be light," and there was light, so he also shined in our hearts. God wants to create this light in us, to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, this is us being illuminated. As we spoke again about the candle that's lit to give light to the room, so God also wants to enlighten us, that we would be a light to the world around us. God does not want us, that's why Jesus says, God does not want us to cover that light that is within us. When God illuminates us, when God gives us light, when God gives us life and transforms us, God wants that light to shine to the world around us, to be evident, to not be hidden. Why would God enlighten us, illuminate us spiritually so that we can cover up that light? That's not God's desire. God would not illuminate us, enlighten us, if he thought that we would just cover it up. There would be no point to him enlightening us then. God wants us to shine forth and to be examples, to be witnesses to the world around us. And that, again, will depend on the spiritual condition of our heart. If we're ashamed of our Lord, then we will do no good thing for him. We'll desire to hide. We'll desire to not stick out, because it's more comfortable to blend in. And we won't stick out. We won't say the things that a believer would say. Maybe we won't speak evil things. Maybe what proceeds from our mouth won't be evil, and yet we'll be covering up that light when we choose to be quiet, when we choose not to be a witness for him. We're covering up that light. And the light that God has lit within us serves no purpose then. That's not the will of God for us. He wants us to be transformed, to be new creatures, that the state of our eye would be pure, would be full of light, that our whole body then would be full of light. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we know this is true in eternity. Those who are pure in heart, those who have been born again, those who have been transformed, those who are pure in heart, they will see God one day, and they'll be with him forever. We know that to be true. And yet that can be true to us in our daily lives as well. Depending on our spiritual vision, depending on the condition of our hearts, we can see God in the world around us every day. We can see his goodness. We can see his creation, the wonder of his creation. We can see that every day, and we can perceive through a spiritual vision that this is of God. When we look at the world around us and we see the wonder of God's creation, how everything in God's creation is worshiping him, is serving him, every animal, every creature, every object that God has created is worshiping him. We can see that when we think spiritually. We can see God in our day-to-day life. We see him in the world around us. We see him through the goodness that is around us. Again, if we have that spiritual vision, we'll see God in all things. So we don't have to, I don't believe we have to wait for eternity now to see God. We can see him now. We can see him now through his Son. God sent his Son that we might know him. If God didn't send his Son, we would have no concept of who God is. We'd have no concept of maybe what he expects from us. And yet he sent his Son that we might have that example, that we might see God every day. When we see Christ, we see God. I can't remember now which disciple it was. I don't think it was Peter. I can't remember off the top of my mind. They said, "Father, Jesus, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. It's enough for us. Just show us the Father and it's enough for us." And Jesus said, Have I been here so long with you and yet you don't know who I am?" We see God when we see Jesus. We see God in the face of Jesus. This is God being revealed to us, to show us what the will of God is, to show us who he is, to show us his character, his nature. That's all made possible for us to perceive through his son. So now how do we look at his son? Again, two people can look at Jesus and see opposite things. Someone can look at Jesus and think, if someone thinks carnally, they can look at Jesus and they can think there's nothing to desire of him. And that's even what's written about Jesus in I believe it's Isaiah. There is nothing that we would desire of him. There's nothing that the carnal, natural man that has not been regenerated, there's nothing that carnal man can look upon Jesus and desire. There's nothing there. There's nothing special about him that a carnal man would desire. And yet the opposite is true. If we have a spiritual perception, then we'll look at Jesus and he'll be our everything. He'll be our all in all. He will be the one that we want to pattern and fashion our lives after. Because the light that is in us now is not darkness, but the light that is in us has transformed our whole being. So now this Jesus, whom before we rejected, this Jesus who before we rejected and thought, he's nothing special. Why would I want to deny myself? Why would I want to think lowly upon myself? Why would I want to think that I'm less than my brother? Now, when we think spiritually, we've been transformed. And now we see Jesus and all his goodness and all of his splendor. And our wicked deeds have been brought to the light. We're no longer living in darkness. We now see this same Jesus for who he really is, the Son of God, a pure, innocent, perfect man. And we'll see all his goodness and we'll desire that. It will be something that we desire. This is not our natural man desiring these things. This is a man that has been born of God, that has been reborn. This is a man that has been reborn. This is something that Nicodemus did not understand. He said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? We know that not to be true, but we are reborn when our complete perception has been changed. Now we'll see the deeds that we used to do. We'll see the movies and the TV shows that we used to lust after, and we used to desire them. We used to set timers on when the next show will be coming out so we wouldn't miss it. And now those things won't interest us at all anymore. We'll see that they're vain. We'll see that they're drawing us away from God. We'll see the wickedness of this world for what it is. We won't be deceived anymore. We know that there is no good thing that comes from the devil. There is no truth that comes from the devil. If there's any time that we have a thought that something evil is good, or if there's any time that we have a thought that doesn't match up with Scripture, we know that the only source of that is the devil. He lies, and he is the father of the lie. And we also know that the Bible warns us that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. And yet that light is no light at all. The devil will try to trick us and deceive us and try to make us think that there is some goodness, some kind of light that comes forth from him, some kind of light that comes forth from evil. We know that there is no light in the devil. If we somehow, if in any way we see goodness, if we see light from something that is evil, we know that we have to recognize we're being deceived. Because that light is not from God. That light is a false God. That light is a false light, not from God. It's from the devil. There is no source of light. There's no source of truth. There's no source of goodness but God himself. And yet Satan will transform himself to deceive us. We have to be on our guard. He'll transform us to think that something evil is good, that something is good for us. And we know if we just look into God's word and we have a desire to be changed, if we look into God's word and we see what God is expecting from us, we'll no longer be deceived. We'll see the devil and all his lies for what they are. We won't get deceived by them, but that takes a spiritual vision. And Jesus says that no man can serve two masters. We might try at times. We might try to have a little bit of goodness and a little bit of the world, but we know it doesn't work because a house divided against itself cannot stand. So we'll try our best. We'll try our best to serve two masters. We'll try our best to give a little bit of time to coming to church, to give a little bit of time to reading God's word, and then we'll go back to our worldly life. And we'll think that's sufficient. We'll think that God is pleased with that. We'll somehow think that we're better. We'll somehow think that we've taken a step toward God. But Jesus here is telling us that if the light that is in us be darkness, then our whole body is then in darkness. Our whole body is either in light or our whole body is in darkness. We can't have half. We can't have half of our body be full of light and half of us be darkness. It won't work. They can't coexist. Light, when a light is just turned on, there is no darkness. There's not a single dark corner of this room that we can hide something in. These lights are on. They illuminate everything. And darkness cannot coexist with light. It's impossible. And the same is true for us spiritually. To give ourselves halfway to Christ, to have half of us be light and half of us be darkness, it's not possible. When we believe this, when we think this is sufficient, when we think it's sufficient for us to just give a little bit to the Lord, what we're doing then is we're believing this lie from the devil. We're believing that half love is enough. But then our spiritual vision will be so clouded, and again, we won't be able to comprehend in a godly manner what is in the world around us. We'll be confused. Our spiritual vision will be so out of balance that we won't be able to think spiritually, to see spiritually if our lives are not fully committed to Him. We're either fully illuminated or we're fully in darkness. The one or the other. We cannot serve two masters. Half love is not enough. So Jesus is warning us here to take heed, to be careful that the light which is in us be not darkness. How are we seeing the world around us? How are we seeing each other? Do we desire to see the worst in each other? Do we desire to see the worst and to lift up ourselves and to think, my faith is better than those around me. I see the way they're living their lives. I'm better than that. Is that how we want to see things? If that's how we want to see things, that's how we will see them. But if we think spiritually, we'll see ourselves and our complete unworthiness of all the blessings that the Lord gives unto us. And we'll see our brothers and sisters and we'll esteem them higher than ourselves. That's possible only when we have this spiritual vision. The natural man will not do this. The natural man by himself, not reborn, will never see good in others. He'll only see good in himself. And yet God is teaching us to have a spiritual vision. This theme, this topic has been on my mind a lot these past few weeks, and I trust that the Lord knows why. I trust that He's giving us these verses to read and to comprehend in our own lives day by day. How are we seeing things? What's our spiritual vision? Do we see the world around us? And do we see the wickedness and do we love it? Or do we see it and do we see it through a spiritual lens? And do we hate the evil that is around us? And do we desire to be transformed into new beings where our whole body is full of light? It's my desire that we would all think about that as we go about our daily lives. May God add His blessing to His word this morning. Amen.